Hey everyone, it's another episode of the College Hoops Hive, and I'm really excited for this one. I've been kind of teasing. I do some conference previews as we started getting into conference play, and now that we have something to glean from watching a lot of basketball, and unfortunately, I've been watching even more basketball than I enjoy because I've been cooped up in my room with COVID, but joining us today is my good friend Will Trubshaw, an alum of Indiana, so he knows the Big Ten basketball footprint better than anyone, and we're going to give you our thoughts on the Big Ten Conference as a whole, as well as just kind of a little bit of a historical perspective of who's the flagship program. So first off, thanks for joining me, and then as the Indiana poster looms behind you, give me your thoughts on the Big Ten.
Well, it's interesting because this year, obviously, everyone's kind of expecting a down year from the Big Ten after, you know, last year they had all those bids and no one really made it out of the first weekend in the NCAA tournament. So it seemed like this year, well, a lot of the talent has gone and graduated. So it was kind of like who has the most left to work with. And I think a lot of, you know, experts, if you will, thought this would be a down year for the Big Ten. But I feel like we've kind of seen the opposite. I think there are a lot of really competitive teams in the Big Ten this year. Obviously, Purdue comes to mind. They were at number one for about 2 or 3 weeks straight. Michigan is kind of been up and down. I think it's another year of a well-rounded conference. I mean, we've seen some teams, too, that, weren't expected to be that good. You know, your Northwesterns, maybe your Penn States. Even your Nebraska's take on and take down some of the flagship programs of late in the Big Ten. So to me, that suggests that it'll be another year where you might have a deep Big Ten conference representation once we get to the postseason. But as it stands right now, it's kind of a who knows what can happen from here because there's so much that is topsy-turvy. Again, you can also look at Indiana or Illinois, two teams that were expected to be at the top of the Big Ten with this down year, and they are currently sitting at one win apiece in conference, which I don't think anyone expected, five games into the conference schedule. So it's an interesting year this year for sure, but it is really, I think, kind of as you alluded to, it's hard to put a thumb on who's, get a pulse of who's really the elite teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, so the way I look at it is the Big Ten in the past couple of years has had the best depth in college basketball as a conference, but it has had the fewest true contenders. The one year that I would say it's been different is the COVID year where they had two number one seeds. However, I don't think either of them were true contenders, even as crazy as that sounds, because Gonzaga and Baylor were that much better than everyone else that year. So one question that you and I had been debating off the air and just kind of been talking about as friends, if you were to say, who's the flagship program 20 years ago in the Big Ten, there is this the Indiana, Bob Knight had just stopped coaching there. They still made a Final Four. Everyone's choice would have been Indiana. But over the past, let's go 15 years, because I think there was still the air of Bob Knight was there. And now, of course, there's going to be a little bit of a ramification of him leaving. Who would you say has been the marquee program in the Big Ten? Because there hasn't been a final, there's been a few Final Four representatives. There's been a few championship game representatives, but no one's won one. And that's kind of loomed over the conference. And you'd know it better than me as someone who attended Indiana and has watched all these Big Ten teams even more than I have.
Yeah. Well, that is an excellent point you make, is it is palpable at any Big Ten school, but I think especially a school like Indiana with the basketball tradition, but any of these schools that have come close, there's this air just in the conference of, what's wrong? Why can't this conference win a championship? Because it's coming up on 23 years since a Big Ten team won a national championship with, Tom Izzo and Michigan State in 2000, which, it doesn't seem that long ago, but at the same time, I'm 24, so pretty much my entire life, there has not been a champion from the Big Ten, which is just a crazy thing to say because it has been such a, a historic power. And I think some of that has to do maybe with the vacuum left by Bob Knight. I think you could argue that because Indiana was one of the winningest teams in terms of championships for the stretch that he was there, certainly in the Big Ten. But you go the last 15 years, I think the obvious one that jumps off the page is Michigan State, right? They've kind of been that preemptive power. They were the one team that won the national championship. And they're always in the tournament, it feels, and it always seems like they end up making a deep run, maybe not all the way to the championship game, but they've put together some really good teams. But, you know, as you were saying, you and I have discussed this previously. And one of the names that jumped out to me, too, of course, is Wisconsin. Little bias there. My dad went there, and, you know, I grew up watching them. But they and Michigan State, since 2003, I think it was, so we're going 20 years back, but they have the most conference championships in the Big Ten regular season, 6-6 each. Now, some of them are outright. Some of them, I believe three were outright for both Michigan State and Wisconsin, and three were split championships. But nonetheless, those are kind of been the two teams that have carried the load for the Big Ten. You know, Michigan's been there. They had some of those good teams. You think of the Trey Burke teams, the, you know, Mitch McGarry. You think of Jordan Poole when they made some runs and stuff. So they, you know, that's another team that's been up there. But if you look at like the listing of teams that have won Big Ten championships, there is some parity, but that's, no one has been a true clear and away favorite. And especially, you know, when it comes to the regular season championships, but also the, like the conference tournament championships too. Cause that's another thing you and I looked at. And I mean, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but none of it has really translated that postseason success that, you know, the Big Ten is expecting or looking for.
Yeah, and that's a really good segue. One additional point, and then I'll make the segue, is that if you look at that, and I may be off by 1 year, but I think that if you take those 12 between Michigan State and Wisconsin, then you add Purdue, who's won a couple in the past 10 years. Illinois has won three, one of which was that year where they had two losses on the season with Darren Williams, Luther Head, and D. Brown, and they made the final and lost to Carolina. And you could make a strong argument they were the better team. So there's three from them, three from Purdue, and Ohio State added one. And I think it's between five, and Michigan has one outright as well in 2021. And those are the five schools. It's between five schools. So you could make an argument. This is like, there's a lot of parity every year in it, but it's the same teams representing. They just haven't cracked through and won a championship. Whereas in the Big 12, Kansas is dominant. They've won 17 of the last 19 Big 12 titles and have won a few championships along the way. So they have been the dominant program, but the Big 12's had more representation deeper in the tournament. So that leads me to my follow-up question for you. How many teams from the Big 10 in 2022, 2023 make the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's a good question. Again, well, I kind of, you know, I look back to what we were talking about earlier. It's hard to tell right now, honestly, because again, you look at the top of the standings right now, it's Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan. There you go, 4-1, 4-1, 3-1, respectively. But then you have Rutgers right behind them. Northwestern's off to a 3-2 start. Wisconsin, 3-2, but they've got some young talent again, some good shooters. Penn State has put together a nice little resume in the early going here. But then you look at the teams that you would have expected to be in the tournament, you know, a team like Illinois, they're 2-3. Indiana's all the way down at 1-4 in conference this year. Even a team like Iowa, you know, with Chris Murray, they're sitting at 2-3 in conference, 10-6 on the year. So how many teams does it translate to making the tournament? Well, you know, we'll go with the safe ones for sure. I want to say Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan are in pretty decent shape as it stands right now. I think the rule of thumb is generally, or it has been, you get to 9 wins in conference and Big Ten play, and you match that up with what should be a generally pretty successful non-conference resume. And it lends itself to some success in making the tournament. So, you know, I like Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan's chances. I got to say Rutgers again. I do think Rutgers, what Steve Peichel has done there is really impressive. Rutgers was kind of the joke of the Big Ten when they joined the conference, because even Maryland had basketball cachet, right? You know, they had championships. You know, they beat Indiana in 2002 in the national championship. But Rutgers was kind of the brunt of a lot of jokes in the Big Ten. But they've really, shedded that that cloak, if you will. I mean, they've really made themselves into an impressive program. And I mean, the RAC has got to be one of the hardest places to play in the country. So I think, you know, they're a good lock. So I'd say at least four. I think Wisconsin probably makes another push to the postseason. You know, there's a stat somewhere out there, and I don't have it in front of me, but there was like one team, I'm not totally sure if it's still active. I think it is, but there was only like one team over the last 20 something years that had appeared in a bowl game and the March Madness tournament every year, and it was Wisconsin.
Yep, that's like impressive.
They've been legit, so I think they keep that up again this year. I think, you know, Greg Gard will find a way to get that team in the tournament, because they always seem to. So that's just, so, you know, I honestly, I would say right now, I feel comfortable with about five teams for sure being in. You know, I think Illinois, they probably have a shot to turn things around here. I think you can make a strong argument.
They're the most talented team in the conference. Like to be pondering it is crazy. And that speaks to the depth to me.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I there's all that drama with Sky Clark transferring out. I do think, you know, Brad Underwood's going to right the ship, because I don't think his players want to mess with him. He's a excellent coach, but boy, you know, I don't think you want to get in on his wrong side. So I think, you know, they'll probably right the ship, you know. But then that brings you six teams, and then it's kind of a roll of the dice, right? Northwestern's off to a hot start, but we've seen that happen a couple times before in recent years, and they just fade in conference play. Penn State, it's hard to know. Penn State's really interesting because they just played Indiana, and they're so live by the sword, die by the sword. They shoot an insane amount of three pointers, and when they make a lot of threes, they take care of business. But if they're missing a lot of threes, it sounds simple to say, you know, but they don't do well. And against Indiana, they shot 18 for 31. So, I mean, that's, you know, if they can string together performances like that, they might squeak in. But it's hard to say. So I'd say right now, I kind of liken it to six or seven teams, but you never know. If teams keep winning, or if someone gets hot again, it changes the whole complexion of the conference.
I think I'm going with eight, and I'd consider going nine even, because the Big Ten, a couple of years ago, I listened to an interview by Matt Painter, and he was talking about how the conference is as good as it has ever been because you're going to have nine teams make it, and he was right. Nine teams made it. And then he said, well, we're also going to have teams that are going to be competing for a championship. And I mentioned that earlier, that they didn't quite have the ability to compete for a championship because Baylor and Gonzaga were better than everyone else. And yes, Michigan and Illinois didn't make the Final Four, but they were the third and fourth best teams in the country that year. But then you looked at the other teams, like Purdue was extremely young that year and were still a five seed. They got upset in the first round, but you get my point. There was tons and tons of talent. This year, I don't see the conference being as good in terms of the quality of teams, but I think it's hard to say if you're going to take, there's 36 teams that make it as at large bids, and there's 32 that are automatic qualifiers. Obviously some of those will kind of go hand in hand, because a team that would be an automatic qualifier or that would be an automatic qualifier would also be an at large. And so now let's say it's like 27, and now you have it to be 43. And I think it's hard to imagine, of let's say roughly 43 teams, that you're not going to get eight or nine of those Big Ten teams that beat up on each other. They cannibalize each other in conference play. So here's my list. I got Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Iowa. And your Indiana Hoosiers, my friend, are on the bubble. I think they're firmly on the bubble, and the injuries are not helping. But that speaks to the depth of the conference, and this is where I'll transition us to kind of projecting our standings, which is going to be a crapshoot. Like, the fact that we're debating about if these teams can make it and then if they can win it speaks to how close they are, the parity within the conference. But Indiana was projected to win the conference by most, and now we're talking about them on the bubble, and obviously they've had injuries, so this is not really a dig, and Will knows this for like, this is a purely basketball mind. If I were giving him a hard time, I probably would have done it already. But it's just honestly is like, if you go to Assembly Hall, they're going to beat one of these good teams, and they're going to have those marquee wins that the committee looks for. So I wouldn't rule out them making it nine once again.
Mm-hmm. No, I tend to agree with that too. I think, you know, there's a chance Indiana rights the ship, because at some point you're not going to lose all these games, especially at Assembly Hall. Like that just, that does not happen. That's fireable offense territory at Indiana. Like I, not for me personally, but I mean, there are fans that like, if you're not getting the job done, like it, you know, they lose their minds. I was, you know, catching up with some old classmates and an old professor, and the professor was saying in a class she had a couple of these classmates a couple of years ago, someone joked and they're like, you know, if Mike Woodson doesn't make an Elite Eight by his second year, he's probably getting fired. You know, everyone laughed, but like, I mean, there, you know, people are irritated with the way things are going right now. But it is, like you said, a lot to do with injuries. So, you know, I think a lot of what happens the rest of Indiana's season, you know, if they want to become one of those teams that still makes a bid, it does depend on how healthy they can get. And that's the big question mark right now, because the two injuries they've suffered are to two of their most key players in Race Thompson and really Xavier Johnson, who is the guy. He makes everything go, you know, as frustrating as he can be sometimes to watch, because he kind of gets sped up. He is the straw that stirs the drink for Indiana. So not having him has hurt them a lot, but I think you're right. I think there's plenty of time for IU to, you know, right the ship too, because we're still only in January. You know, I mean, you got a lot of the conference season left, but they're going to have to make some changes quick, because it's just, it's not pretty, and the team doesn't exactly seem inspired right now. And that's not a recipe for success. You know, I mean, you look at these other teams and they are, you know, it's just hard hat lunch pail. You just go to work and everyone knows the Big Ten is a grind. So you just got to go take care of business.
That's a perfect segue. Speaking of taking care of business, a team like Maryland or Indiana will have to do so to make the tournament, and they're basketball blue bloods. They're not quite blue bloods, but they're one of those teams that if you went to those schools, they consider themselves blue bloods. As someone that's a neutral and a basketball guy, let's talk about a team that brings their work pail every time. I think we can both agree. Let's rank out the Big Ten. I think we can both agree Purdue right now is the class of the Big Ten. And that took me a bit by surprise. I think I had them fourth or fifth, and we kind of were talking before the season. And we didn't fully write out our rankings, but this was just kind of hearsay talk. Do you agree that Purdue is the class of the Big Ten right now?
I think so. Just because, again, it's another, you know, Matt Painter has done a good job of bringing young guys that can shoot. He's got a dominant big man in Zach Edey, who is, you know, leading the nation in just about every efficiency kind of metric you can have, which you should when you're 7'4". You know, the guy is just a tank. But the way this team is built right now for Purdue, I mean, they're really strong. Is it a championship team? As a national championship, you know, that's the real question, right? It's like, how far can they go with kind of this old school style offense where you just have a big man who's just an anchor that sucks, you know, he's got all the gravity, brings everyone towards him, and it opens up the shooters on the outside. You know, so much of basketball now is five guys, you know, spacing and pacing around. That's not exactly Purdue's game. But I mean, ED is just so dominant, you know, in a way that some of the big guys we've seen in the last few years almost aren't, you know, like I think of Kofi Coburn at Illinois. Like, he was dominant, but I don't know that he was dominant on the scale that Edey has been this season. You know, there's just nobody who can slow him down, basically. But so I'd say for sure Purdue, they're number one in the conference right now, but that can still change.
Yeah, they're 4-1 in the conference. And this is the only, I won't even say they're a slam dunk, but it's as close to a slam dunk for the 7'4" Zach Edey as the rest of the conference is going to be. And it's going to be hook shots from now on. See how we do trying to rank them out. Note about Purdue, they're second in offensive efficiency and 31st in adjusted defense. Typically, you have to be top 25 to win a championship or make a Final Four in both. And so that, you know, that's close enough to where that the metric doesn't say, oh, automatic no. But my eyes tell me Purdue is not a championship contender, because if Edey were to get in foul trouble, he's the source of their offense for their guards, who are impressing as freshmen, Fletcher Lawyer and Braden Smith. They catch out of rotations and attack and swing the ball impressively. I enjoy watching them, but I think there's teams that can stunt them. And I think this is an Elite Eight team, but I'm not quite sold on a Final Four team. So on to where we show up, toss up hook shots, and we'll see how we do. Who do you have number two in the Big Ten conference?
Well, you know, that is a tough question. I think in terms of the other team with the most pure talent, it's probably, you know, Michigan. I do think that they, you've got Hunter Dickinson, who you and I have talked about. He's, you know, the character is questionable with him. You know, he says things that draw a lot of negative attention to himself. But I mean, he is a really good basketball player, and he's kind of the anchor of that Michigan team. So I think Michigan, they continue their winning ways. I think they pass Michigan State, you know, but this, again, at the same time, this is a year or two where everything's kind of, you know, off kilter. I don't know. I would say we're not close to the best, you know, Michigan State team Coach Izzo's ever had, but he's so experienced, so good of a coach, he could still squeak him in there. But if I had to go number two, I'd say Michigan right now. I do think, though, that Illinois, they're not in a horrible spot at 2-3. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them sneak into the top four, maybe even sneak up into the top two if they can continue, you know, winning and they're past whatever, you know, the doldrums that they were in, because they were in a rough way for a while. But I'd say right now, Michigan two. I'll just go ahead and give you three and four. I'll say Michigan State three, Illinois four.
Yeah, I think we're of the like mind. If I were to rank the most talented teams in the conference, and I'll just outright say I was kind of wrong. I thought Illinois was the best team in the Big Ten. Everyone was taking Indiana, and I thought that on paper, Illinois had the most talent, and they had more ways to beat you offensively and defensively. It could still happen, but I agree. I'm thinking of the same like that. I think they're going to shoot up the rankings a little bit. They are behind the race to start, but there's time. Right now, I've got Michigan State at two. I agree with you that they're not my favorite Michigan State team, far from it, in fact, but I have the ultimate respect for Izzo. I watched them in a big game in the conference standings. And this is something that Will and I've talked about, is I think the regular season means more in the conference tournament in terms of who's better in Big Ten over the past 10 years, which is why we kind of referenced both of them, but led with the regular season titles. Michigan State has a way of winning close games. They beat Wisconsin at the Kohl Center. I think that was a big change in the standings. Had Wisconsin have won that, I think my standings would have changed a little bit and reflected it. But I thought the Michigan State was the better team anyway. To go into the Kohl Center hostile environment and win that spoke to me about how they can win games. Malik Hall still a little bit injured, banged up. AJ Hogard, Tyson Walker, and one player that I think really can propel Michigan State is Akins. Really talented scorer. He's just got to be consistent. So I think they've got enough weapons to be number two in what I would consider a non-contender, but someone that can contend to win the Big Ten regular season. Three, I'm thinking of the same line as you. I've got Michigan, so we just flip-flop those two. Michigan, they've been poor, to be honest, at this point, but they have so much talent. Like, I think they go on the road today as we record this. They play Iowa. Iowa's a 5.5-point favorite. But if you go across the starting lineup and say talent-wise, who's better at all five possessions, I think Michigan wins at least four or five of those. And I guess, yeah, maybe three of five if you want to give Tony Perkins the nod over Jalen Llewellyn. But I think they're going to figure it out. I think Juwan Howard's good at coaching Big Ten play, knows the scouting reports, and they're starting to slim down the rotation. And I'll finish out my top four as well. I'm going to go with Rutgers as my number four team. I like what Rutgers has put forth. I think Steve Peichel's kind of grit and grind a la the Grizzlies has worked well for him. They aren't necessarily a talented offensive scoring team, but they know how to do it done. They've got these kind of gritty competitors in there. In addition of Cam Spencer coming into the Big Ten, and he's really helped them. He's hit a couple of big shots. They've beaten Purdue at the Gene Keady court at Mackey. And I really respect the fact that it's hard to win at the rack. So you accumulate wins by being good at home. So we're not too dissimilar in terms of our top four. Want to give your next couple or thoughts on that, and then your next couple?
Sure. Well, yeah. Well, I want to say, for one, I mean, you know, back to, for one, the rack, they're 10-2 there this year, or Rutgers. You know, I mean, they are dominant at home. They've played a lot of games at home, but you know what? You're going to take them where you can get them, right? So I like that pick for a number four. I could see, I would have had them at number five too, but honestly, I think they and Illinois are interchangeable again, because quite frankly, Rutgers has gotten off to the better start in conference. I mean, they certainly have the resume wins right now with that win over Purdue at Mackey. And, you know, I think the Indiana win for them is still a good one, even though Indiana's out of the top 25 right now. I like that. I think too, it's kind of interesting the point you made, how a lot of these teams, you know, Michigan State, Michigan, they're, you know, there's talent on the team, maybe not as much as we've seen in years past. You know, these are not maybe the teams that had those Final Four caliber rosters. But I think it's funny in a weird way, it kind of gets back to what the original consensus at the start of the season was, but that it might be a down year for the Big Ten in the grand scheme of things. But I think a lot of that had to do with there's just so many more new faces. You know, I mean, you look at the Howard twins on Michigan, and I mean, they're freshmen. So, you know, there's a lot of youth now in the conference, and it's a big shift from a lot of known commodities in the conference the past few years because of, you know, the COVID and you know, everyone gets an extra year or two. So a lot of these teams were just returning the same guys. So, I mean, you really had detailed scouting reports and you had older guys that you knew what you were going to get. So I think it does kind of, you know, it creates a situation where the coaches that have the most experience will probably just have their teams end up doing the best. And that's the teams like Matt Painter and Purdue and Tom Izzo and Michigan State, because they know how to coach through the growing pains, if you will. So I think that I think both our, you know, top fours reflected that. So anyway, continuing on to the rest of the conference. Yeah, I mean, I for me, I'll stick with Rutgers at 5. Again, I think that's, you know, they'll be right there with Illinois. Again, it's probably interchangeable. Iowa, man, I don't know if I'm a believer in them. At number 6, give me Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin slots in at number 6 in the conference. They're just another team, another really experienced coach in Greg Gard, who certainly not the most talented team that he's worked with, but he's got a lot of young faces. They got a shooting guard too out of
Asijan,
out of Indiana. I forget his name.
Connor Asijan,
thank you. I mean, that guy's lighting it up. So, and that's the typical Wisconsin kind of product, right? Like guards that can shoot, big men that are talented in the post and outside. A guy like Steven Crowell now, it's, you know, maybe not as big a unit as an Ethan Happ or a Frank Kaminsky, but I think that Wisconsin ends up slotting in at 6 in the conference this year. How much further do we want to go down the list?
Let's go two at a time here. I agree with both those. I didn't put Illinois in my top 4 despite saying I think they're the most talented team in the conference, and I still do. So Illinois is my 5. And then I think at 6 I'm going with, oh man, I'm torn between Wisconsin and Ohio State. And that's where it becomes interesting to that point. There's 7 teams right there that I think all can make a claim they're an 8 seed or above. Like, very few conferences can say that. And I know the resumes right now don't reflect that. But if you think about once you get through a Big Ten play, if all these teams are 500 or better, and most of them will be that we're referring to, that really reflects a lot of grit and ability to win games. So I guess I took 3, even though I said 2, but that's a tie between 6 for me. If I'm splitting hairs, Bryce Sensabaugh is the best freshman in the conference. So leading Ohio State, Wisconsin knows how to win. If I had to guess, I think Wisconsin's going to win more in the Big Ten just because they'll have fewer growing pains. But I think Ohio State's a better team. I know that sounds weird. I think Wisconsin fans are going to hate me that listen to this. But you know, you can't appease everyone. So I guess I've got 7. Back to you, and finish out who you think the teams in the Big Ten that can contend for the tournament and maybe like 8 or 9 deep.
Yeah. Well, you know what? So who do I've got, like I said, I've got Penn State left. I've got Northwestern left, Nebraska left, Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa, Maryland. Well, you know, that's interesting. I could honestly, I think I go with Ohio State at 7. So I guess kind of interchangeable with Wisconsin. Again, that's one that honestly, I don't have a good gut feeling either way. So I could certainly see Ohio State pulling it out. And again, that's, you know, Bryce Sensabaugh, like you said, he's real good. And Chris Holtman's another guy who is now, he's got a few years under his belt in the Big Ten. and he's a good coach, but he hasn't, I feel like he hasn't really been able to get over the hump truly in conference play. You know, I feel like when he got brought in, everyone was expecting that, you know, this immediate success from him. He was going to be this guy that takes Ohio State to the top of the conference. We haven't really seen that yet. They've always kind of been middle of the pack to start, and then they kind of work their way up the rankings a little bit. So I think it's more of the same this year. I am a believer in Northwestern, though. I think Northwestern's got a good chance to, you know, at least make the NCAA tournament this year. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, top six in the Big Ten, but again, as we're talking here, if you think you got 8-9 teams coming in, you don't necessarily need to be. And I, you know, it's not as, this is actually probably a less talented Northwestern team this year than they had last year.
Yeah, but they probably lost their best player in Pete Nance.
Exactly. I mean, they lost a bunch of guys that got cherry picked the last couple of years by, you know, Blue Bloods and Power Fives or other Power Five schools. But I think there's a lot of continuity with this team. And, you know, I think more than anything, Chris Collins is coaching for a job. I mean, he is really kind of in desperation mode. You know, if they don't do something this year, I think it's safe to say his tenure at Northwestern won't be lasting much longer. So I have to imagine a little bit of that desperation is going to help them. You know, could they fade out? Yeah. Will they? I mean, it's possible. You know, they are, it's a flawed team in Northwestern right now, for sure. I don't think they're great, but they are phenomenal defensively, which is, that is one thing that can, you know, really set you apart in the Big Ten is your defense. So I like them. Maryland's another team too. I think they've got the juice to get in the tournament every year. They're always kind of around, but I'd say they're kind of a bubble team. Nebraska, you know, they're having a nice turnaround year of sorts, and they're 9-8. So I don't see any magic for Fred Hoiberg and the Cornhuskers. And Iowa, like I said, I mean, it would be wild to not see a Fran McCaffrey Iowa team in the tournament. But I don't know if I believe it this year. Like, even when they played Indiana, yeah, they won. You know, Chris Murray dropped, I think, 28 points. I think he had a double-double. But he just, it wasn't I didn't feel his presence in the game. I didn't feel any of the Iowa players' presence. It wasn't like in years past where, last year you had Keegan Murray would take over games. Or, you know, I mean, they've had guys who just put on these dominant shooting displays where, you know, there's no Luka Garza. Some dominant, they're just kind of a team that I feel doesn't have an identity, and I think that's gonna hurt them kind of honestly in a similar way to Indiana right now. So they've got some good pieces, but they're it's not the best Indiana team right now. I think it puts them on the bubble or maybe just outside the bubble right now, but they, yeah. But I think that Iowa's got some things to work out, but it's not impossible they make the tournament. And then Minnesota, they're done. I don't see them.
I share your skepticism about Iowa, but at the same time, they've gotten hot as they lost one of their better players in Patrick McCaffrey as he's dealing with some anxiety. So hopefully he can come back and help them. Mm-hmm. Quickly, what about your Indiana Hoosiers? Where would you put Indiana? And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Indiana, Maryland, and Penn State are the three that kind of have a chance that you haven't mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, again, Indiana, it's just, I don't want to get in my soapbox too much, but I mean, they're just in a rough shape. And I think that it really depends on what they can, if they can get anything the rest of the season out of Xavier Johnson and Race Thompson, that, or they need some of these role guys to step up. You know, Miller Kopp can't be quiet like he was against Penn State. You know, some of the younger guys too, you know, at some point, if guys aren't playing, you know, give Anthony Lewis a shot, give Caleb Banks a shot, put CJ Gunn in, you know, get some of these guys out here. Cause they're, you know, right now, even though it's, you know, you're just five games into the conference season, you've got to find a way to just, you know, keep going. It's all hands on deck right now. You got to stop the bleeding before it turns into a flood. Basically, they've got to find a way to do that. And So far they haven't. So I think they, right now they're on the bubble. You know, if they can put together a winning streak, then I think they're firmly back in the tournament. But if they keep losing, you know, this season's going to go awry very, very quickly.
All righty. So we're hearing bubble talk for the Hoosiers. We talked about skepticism for Iowa between both of us. Maryland, a team like Penn State, who just knocked off the Hoosiers, has also got a big win against Illinois. Between us, we've got 7 through 9 teams making, and there's like a case that, you know, there's 10 or 11 teams deserving, but you just can't get that many in. It's pretty much unreasonable. So I guess the question I'm going to ask is, you know, we feel like Purdue's going to have that top seed, and, you know, maybe they don't get a number one, maybe they're a two, but they're going to be one in those top couple seed lines. But I'm curious your thoughts on what type of seed line some of these teams would get. Like, so we'll start towards the top with beyond Purdue, who I think we agree is 1 and 2. What is a team like Michigan, Michigan State, Illinois, Rutgers, those top five, what do you think their potential seed lines are? And then we will discuss to conclude, how deep can they make it to make a successful run for the Big Ten conference? And what is considered success in the Big Ten, which you know better than me?
Yeah, boy. Well, I mean, that's tough to prognosticate because, again, outside of Purdue, I mean, so many of these teams are really neck and neck, you know. So much can still change in terms of like the actual seeding. You know, I mean, if I had to say right now, you know, like if the tournament were starting today, I mean, I think honestly, you look at the standings and, you know, Penn State's probably in, you know, a team like Maryland. Well, maybe you could make an argument for them, right? You know, I mean, like we said, Penn State, they've had some quality wins. You know, I think Ohio State's in, you know, maybe Illinois gets left out in this case, and Iowa definitely gets left out, you know. So it's hard to say, but I mean, I think depending on the trajectory of things right now, you know, you're looking at a bunch of teams that overall are 12-5, 12-4. You know, Michigan's only 9-6. So we could get another scenario there. You know, Michigan last year was kind of, they were on the bubble too with Indiana, and it kind of came down to just the results in the Big Ten tournament. You know, I could see them sneaking in as like a 11 seed, something like that in Michigan, even though they're third in the conference right now. You know, a team like Michigan State, Wisconsin, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 seed right now. I don't think that's unreasonable, you know, but certainly not, maybe not top 25 in the AP poll, but just kind of on the outside looking in there. So that lands you at a 4 or 5 seed. I think that's a fair spot for some of those teams. I don't know, but then you look at like a Penn State. I mean, that's probably like a 12 seed right now, you know. Rutgers, another 4 or 5 seed. I mean, look at Ohio State, maybe a 10 seed again, you know, that kind of seems to be their seed of late. It's like a 10 seed, something like that. So I'm not seeing a lot of high seeds at the moment. You know, if someone goes on a tear and they really start making up ground and they start catching up to Purdue, maybe you break into that 3 seed, maybe even a 2 seed range. But, you know, right now, outside of Purdue, every team in the Big Ten has at least 4 losses overall. You know, Purdue's 15-1. Then, you know, everyone else has 4 or more losses. So, you know, none of those records constitute, if you're following the trajectory of the rest of the season, you know, it's no one's going to be like a top one, or no one else is a top 1 or 2 seed. Maybe, you know, if Rutgers somehow and Michigan State keep winning, maybe they, you know, depending on the wins they get, you know, maybe they slide up into the to a 3 seed, maybe, you know, the highest 4 seed slots. But that's kind of where it's at right now. You know, it's not, but I think that's kind of what people would expect this year from the Big Ten, is not like one of those years where you've got like 2 1 seeds and then 2 2 seeds and a couple 3, you know, it's not going to be so top heavy this year.
Yeah, prognosticating conferences and how they'll do in March is a futile act, but it's one you kind of got to do. A couple of years ago, the Pac-12 had an amazing March, but all year, I live in Pac-12 country, have my entire life, and everyone was saying, my, this is the worst conference in America, like, or not in America, but the worst Power Five, Power Six conference in basketball. And then they had three teams in the Elite Eight. So, you know, people right. changed their mind. The ACC, to my eye, was down last year, yet they had three teams, two teams make the Final Four, three teams make the Elite Eight. So I don't think justifying it all on how you do in March is fair, but I can say that the quality of seed is a good way of determining how well a conference should be rated. So one thing that I don't know if I fully disagree with you on, but I think that I would say you're lowballing a few of these teams, just considering that their quality of their opponents, like the Big Ten is, there's going to have nine teams in there. So I think if you're able to beat some of these guys, which inevitably they'll have to do to make the tournament, I think their resumes get boosted. And this isn't even coming from like a quad one. And I don't really love that standpoint. It's like, you need to have your quad one wins. You can't afford a quad three. And I think it becomes like diverse from basketball. Like you start straying too far from the good game there, not to sound crazy, but that's something that I believe. So if you're to look at a team, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you're onto something. You've seen more Big Ten conferences from a closer eye than me. But if I look at it, if I look at a team like Michigan State, do I think they're a top seed line? Absolutely not. But if they're to finish in the top three of the Big Ten, I think they're going to get boosted up to at least like a six seed. And Wisconsin was one I agree with you on, like four or five, I think somewhere. I think they're four through six because they're going to be consistent. They're going to have a plus record, plus 500 record in the Big Ten, and they started the year well. So their wins accumulation is going to be high enough to get them there. Do I think they're a contender from that spot? Not particularly, but that's for the next one. As for Michigan was the one where I wouldn't say I disagreed with you in terms of like lowballing. Michigan was the one that I would say I think they were too low. If they're to finish top three, which who knows, maybe you're absolutely right. And they struggle. But if they're to follow kind of our shared thoughts of them finishing top four, I can't imagine them being lower than a seven, despite some of their early yeah. season, just because I have the respect for the conference. Am I barking up like the wrong tree or is maybe.
Well, it is so interesting because, I mean, you know, obviously the Big Ten does get a lot of respect, a lot of reverence because of just how tough it is in conference. But that also is the problem too, is a lot of teams that if you don't get off to a good start in non-conference, because, you know, obviously there are some teams, there's always one or two teams in the Big Ten that they'll run away with it. But a lot of those middle of the pack teams, you've won a few, but then you've lost a few. You're kind of, I don't want to say 500, but you know, I mean, you're hanging, like last year, Indiana, I believe, was 9-11 in Big Ten play. And sure, they made the tournament, but that was a 500 team. If they didn't have the wins they had in the non-conference season, they're not getting into the tournament. And, you know, the same could be said for Michigan last year. So so much of the Big Ten is what happens in conference and who you're beating up on, who you climb over. Get up, but you know, if you have a foundation where, you know, maybe you went like 8-0 in non-conference play, but you were playing, you know, Chicago State and Kennesaw State, it detracts on that end. And it's easy to forget about that because, I mean, the Big Ten season in itself is like, it's a completely different animal. You know, I mean, it's something else. Like most other conferences, you know, like if they played like five games a year against just Big Ten teams, it would solidify their resume. But so, when I see a team in a Michigan that has struggled, you know, they're just 9-6 overall. And again, some of that's that slow start, but when I see something like that, to me personally, it's kind of a yellow flag. It's they struggled non-conference and, you know, maybe they were playing good teams, which also ends up helping you because you've got those quality losses, so to speak. But it tends to puts you more on the bubble, I feel like, because you haven't distinguished yourself with good quality wins in non-conference play to say that, hey, you know, we didn't just, you know, get lucky in the Big Ten play. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's kind of like it's a kind of backwards way of thinking about it. But that's how I've always thought about it. It's like, you know, the best teams in the Big Ten, you know, yeah, they took care of business. Maybe they struggled a little in conference, but they really did the job they needed to do in non-conference play, and they kind of assured themselves with that place. They're not on rocky ground, so to speak.
Yeah, I follow that. And I think the best example of like the weight of non-conference play would be Illinois, because they picked up one of the premier wins. They beat UCLA in a neutral site event. They also have a win over Texas, who at the time was the best team in the country. And that was before the Chris Beard saga. But then they've had some puzzling losses. Like they get blown out by Missouri, who last night got blown out by Texas A&M. And, you know, you can make that analysis at any point for college basketball. And you know, if you make that point, but the thing is, if Illinois gets on a little bit of streak, even at 2-3 and 2-3, I'm trying to pull up their KenPom resume real quick, just where they rank. I think they're 25th in KenPom. So KenPom, I don't think that they're like a hallowed ground as to what they can be. But I will say this. If they're 25th best in KenPom, I think they're more talented than that. I think they're going to end up top five in the Big Ten. It's hard for me to look away and say, well, they played a lot of good teams. How can you say that they're not going to be a top six seed? I'm not saying that you said that they wouldn't be. I'm just saying from a perspective of the depth of the conference thing. And I right. believe they'll reach those goals.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it from the, if it were to end today. Right now, that like you, if Illinois gets hot, and again, I think they get, you know, if we go based off our predictions of where teams will finish, you know, in the regular season, you know, I think they will very much skyrocket up the rankings in the playoffs. But I do agree with you. I think that you know, if Illinois, they get hot, if they figure things out again in conference play, well, yeah, of course they're going to get a much higher seed. You know, there's no reason, you know, if they finish top three in the conference, top four, you know, if they have one of those kind of runs, well then, yeah, they might end up somewhere between a 4-6 seed, maybe even a little higher, depending on who they beat on their way to that. You know, if you knock off Michigan State and, you know, Purdue, as part of your conference run and your Illinois, I mean, yeah, like that's going to improve your seed a lot, but it's hard to tell right now. And you know, if you base it off the baselines, you know, I think they're still a tournament team at this, you know, but it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah. So I think that brings up a strong point. The fact that the Big Ten has so many of these good teams, I think it strengthens everyone's resume just as much as it hurts it. And I'd say even more so, because the teams that get hurt by this are the teams like, I'd say a team like Northwestern, who I don't think will make the tournament. And we differ there, but a team like Northwestern doesn't have those marquee wins in the preseason and then is going to get beat up inevitably by having to play in all these brand name arenas. Like how many teams or how many conferences can you name couple of their arenas just by like knowing it? Like everyone in the Big Ten, and I've never been to the Midwest in my life, and I could tell you, and I'm a basketball nerd, so this is a me thing, but I can tell you every single arena in that conference by name, and it's like or like by their nickname. And the point of that I'm making here is, how crazy do you have to play to be able to win at Assembly Hall, at the Kohl Center, at the, you know, at all these places, in Champaign, you know? So my point being, they're going to strengthen their resume very, very impressively by doing this, is just as much as those teams like Northwestern, who have no marquee wins, are going to hurt it. So with that being said, how would you put these seeds, no matter where they're seated, how many teams in the Big Ten can make like a Sweet 16? And that said, what constitutes a strong Big Ten conference? Like, you know, winning it, I don't think anyone's going to win it. Purdue has the best chance. But what constitutes a good season of college basketball in the Big Ten based off the representation in March Madness?
Well, if you're going off the last couple of years, just making it past the round of 32 would be with more than one team would be a start. You know, it has been just bizarre the last couple of years. And I think, you know, blame COVID or whatever you want, but the teams just, they have not lived up to the expectations in the playoffs. And I think that does have to do again with just the grueling schedule of, you know, playing in these, you know, household name arenas every night, you know, and, you know, it really is a grind now, you know, in the Big Ten. So that's, you know, what makes a successful season. I mean, I think the Big Ten, they want and they need at least, you know, I mean, two or three teams making the Sweet 16 is a good place to be, because, you know, it shows that, you know, you're able to win a couple games on the first weekend, and you're able to, you know, build something that it shows there's some staying power. It's not all, you know, in the name, because I think that is one of the other big things too, is, yes, you know, the Big Ten, you know, it's all marquee matchups every night, and all that, but it doesn't reflect well, because you beat up on yourselves, but then you can't beat someone from, I don't know, the West Coast Conference or the Mountain West Conference, right? Not to pick on the schools out here, because obviously, you know, Gonzaga's West Coast Conference, but I'm saying, like, far too often of late, the Big Ten has not shown up where it matters the most. Like, it's great if the Big Ten is considered the best conference in the regular season, because it's the toughest to play in. But they've got to find a way to keep pushing more and more teams through. I'm not saying, like, all nine teams have to make it to the Sweet 16, because that probably won't happen. Probably have a couple overlapping games where teams will play each other in the round of 32, something like that, you know, depending on where you, what bracket you get seated in. But they got to find a way to get more than just one team, and more than someone who isn't, like, the favorite, you know. Like, it's, you know, like, Purdue should be there. They should be in the Sweet 16, no question. And if they don't, I think that's a failure of a season. But I think you could have said that about any of the teams the last few years that were, you know, they're high seeds in the Big Ten. I mean, you look at, like, Illinois, their matchup against Loyola Chicago a couple of years ago. Like, yeah, Loyola Chicago was probably
That was a beautifully coached game. That was a coached game.
Porter Moser at his finest, right? But, I mean, that, you know, Illinois should have won that game. There's no question about it. So the Big Ten has to avoid more events like that. They have to have more, you know, I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be a champion this year from the Big Ten. Purdue certainly represents the best chance. But even they've had a few too many stumbles in the tournament in recent history, where, you know, they're a really solid team. And you look at some of the names that have come through there, and, you know, it's the farthest they made it was Elite Eight, you know. So, I guess, long story short, after all the rambling, you need a couple teams in the Sweet 16, at least two or three, for it to be a good season. I think that might even exceed expectations, given what many pundits said at the start of the year. Now, how likely is it? I don't know. Again, I like Purdue, but I mean, you know, everyone else just feels like such a wild card. It's just so hard to predict. You know, Wisconsin is known for kind of their surprise runs every once in a while. And again, I think, you know, Tom Izzo, he's always got the troops ready at the end of the season. But, you know, like, Michigan has been so volatile this season. You know, could they do it again? Could they make a run with Juwan Howard? I don't know. Have, you know, he's had some success, but has it really been the same level as when John Beilein was here at Michigan? You know, so there are so many variables. It's hard to say who could actually make it, but you got to be thinking multiple representatives for in the Sweet 16 and beyond to call it somewhat of a successful tournament.
Yeah, I follow that train of thinking. I subscribe to that. I would say Purdue has to make the Elite Eight, or someone has to make the Elite Eight. I'm just going to name Purdue as the most likely team. I think a team like Illinois or Michigan, who I consider talented and dangerous, has to make the Sweet 16, similar to how Michigan made it last year. And then I think a consistent, like, kind of a steady chugger of a team like either a Wisconsin, Ohio State, or Michigan State has to make the Sweet 16. And anything else you get is just gravy. A team like Penn State that plays small ball finds a good matchup. They get hot. Like you said, when they're hot, they're tough to play. I mean, they shot 18 of 31 is what you said earlier in this against Indiana. Yeah. And shooting's what makes upsets. If Penn State makes it, they're going to be a 10 or 11 seed. They play a six, they can win that. And then now you play a three, there are teams that are susceptible to shooting. I think anything else is gravy. So I'm with you there. I think you need two or three representatives in the Sweet 16, one in the Elite Eight. Obviously, if you make the Final Four, that's great, but I just don't see it for this. So I think overall the prognosticators were right. To finalize this experiment of finishing this podcast prognosticating, let's just talk about what team do you think can make the surprise run? And this is all, we don't have a bracket in front of us, obviously, as we're recording in January, but what team has the pieces that will outperform what you've seen so far?
Are we talking Big Ten or just overall?
We'll start Big Ten, but give me one overall team as well. I know that'll be a fun little segue.
Well, you know, I guess because we're on the subject and we just keep bringing them up, let's go with the Nittany Lions, because they do kind of fit that prototype of a team that, you know, if they find that shooting stroke at the right time, they get hot. I mean, how many times in years past have we seen a team that all of a sudden they just knock down everything and they go on this little Cinderella type run in the tournament? You know, Penn State, I think, could certainly fit the mold. You know, they're building a program there right now. You know, every few years it seems like they start something and there's turnover there. But I wouldn't be shocked if it was them. You know, I think you could argue there are a lot of teams that could make potential, you know, Cinderella runs out of the Big Ten, you know, not in the grandest sense, you know, but they're teams that no one would expect to really be there. And I think you could make a case for a lot of them. But I kind of, if I had to pick a Cinderella right now, maybe Penn State, if they keep up their winning ways, you know, if they fall off the table here, you know, going into February, you know, mid-January into February, well, then obviously that's out the window, because it's live by the sword, die by the sword. If all of a sudden they can't shoot for February, well, then there goes your tournament hopes, right? I mean, it's over. But if they make it, the small ball and the pace, and that's something that's missing from the Big Ten is pace. There are not a lot of teams that run with the ball, and I think that's one thing that also holds the Big Ten back a lot is it is more old fashioned. Like, you look at all the big men, and yeah, that's like the big headline coming in. It's like all these superstar centers and power forwards, but it's like, yeah, but everyone else just blows by them in the tournament, right? I mean, there's no, you know, they can't keep up in that sense. So I think in some regards that actually positions Penn State kind of well.
Yeah, I think Penn State could surprise people. Should they make it, they've got to find a way to beat the teams that will have scouting reports on them, so they're not surprising them with their small ball run and gun shoot and hope. Mm-hmm. The team that stands out to me, I mentioned it, is a team that with talent that can beat teams based off ability alone. I think Michigan and Illinois are the two teams that I think can go deeper than what their resumes indicate. Michigan's 51st in KenPom. Like, that they're way too good to be that low. That's pretty bad. Like, quite frankly, like, you find a few teams like Penn State, for instance, we're talking about them as sneaking into the tournament. They're 42nd. So Michigan's a team that I think will outperform where they're ranked. I think they're going to get better. We picked them both to finish in the top four. Could they slip? Absolutely. That would be the team. And Illinois, like I said, I think they're the most talented team. Losing Sky Clark hurts. Brad Underwood can coach defense really well. And if they can find a way to produce offense, and they have more than enough guys capable of it individually, they can find team offense, I should rephrase. That's the team that I'd be worried to see them if they're a 7 or 8 in my path. Like, that's not a fun 7 if I'm a 2 seed. That said, this wraps it up. I think Edie's the player of the year in the Big Ten. If we were to name a all conference team, I think it would go TJD, Edie, Dickinson, Bryce Sensabaugh, and Pickett from Penn State. Like, if it was 5, I know the Big Ten likes to put 10 out there. And anyone else you'd give a shout out there to?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, if we're doing, I kind of like that as a first team all Big Ten, you know, second team.
Yeah. I'll put you on the spot there. I don't know a second team
either. That's all right. That's all right.
But I mean, yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of good players, but I think there's like an established first team if you were to do 5 people is kind of the point I was making from doing that.
I think that they kind of represent the older guard, if you will, too, outside of Sensabaugh, it's guys that, you know, they're the veterans in the conference, and those are usually the guys that will take home the hardware, you know, with one or two freshmen. So I tend to agree with that list right now for sure.
All righty. Well, there you have it. We'll probably get Will back on the College Hoops Hive soon. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you again soon, as I've been trapped in captivity with COVID in my room.
Hey, rest up. You're going to be wiped from an hour of podcasting.
Oh, that's all I've been doing. I watch basketball and talk basketball. So thank you for coming on, and we'll have you on again soon.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.